Well, I don't know how you are as a handy person. I could say a handyman, but a handy person around your house. I don't know if someone in your house does that kind of work, but maybe you have little projects and things that you do in your house and you have to fix things, right? Maybe you're a fixer-upper, maybe you're not. Maybe every little thing you call out or get help. Some things we can handle, some things we can't. But I know we were doing a little bit of work at our home, and we needed a new dishwasher. The old one had died, and now we had to put a new one in. And we saw that there was not a shut-off valve to the going into the dishwasher. So we said, well, let's put a shut-off valve. So I got a friend, and a friend came and helped me and to create a shut-off valve for the entry into the dishwasher. So in order to do that, we had to shut off other valves so that we wouldn't have a major water problem. And so we shut off several valves so that we could go to work and do the work and get it all done. And so when we finished the work, we went back and turned on all the valves and gave it a test run, and it worked, and everything was good. So we could shut off where at that point where we needed to shut it off, and then the pressure seemed kind of nice, and everything was all good to go to install the new dishwasher. So that was good. Felt pretty good about that. But then when we went to check other faucets and shower and things like that, we kind of went around. We noticed something took place. There was a great reduction of pressure. The pressure was greatly reduced, and we weren't really sure why. It was really kind of weird because there was no pressure on some of the sinks and shower, and then other ones were just fine. And so it was just kind of weird. And now it seemed like, we had fixed a problem, a minor problem, and then we were left with another problem. And I don't know if that's ever happened in your house. You fix one thing, and then there's just another thing that comes up. And then you're kind of left frustrated, like, what was it? We couldn't figure it out that day. We didn't figure it out that day. And so we were left with this thing. Now, come to pass, times pass, and then we had some other things to do in the house, and we kind of started thinking about, what if it's this, what if it's that? And so we had an idea, it hit, and that was just unscrew the aerators and take apart the faucets and see what's inside. And so we did. And of course, that was after messing with other things that we had tried and messed with. And then we did, and the kitchen faucet, we did it, and it was, lo and behold, there was gunk in there. There was dirt in there. And so we were able to clean it out, take a Q-tip, and really kind of get it nice and cleaned out. And then we were able to put the pieces, several pieces, back together. And then the water flowed freely. It actually wasn't a pressure problem. It was just dirt that had gunked up in there, and then went and did that in the shower and kind of messed with that and got that all cleaned up. And lo and behold, that also flowed well again. So we're like, praise God. It wasn't a major issue. Didn't have to be an expense. It was easily fixed, thank the Lord. So sometimes, when you're messing around doing things in your house, the resolution is pretty easy. It's not that bad. It's just getting to it and finding out what to do and how to do it and then doing it, right? Now that was just a little bit of dirt, but I want to tell you a story, and this is from Pastor Tony Evans. He shares a story about his home in Texas. Now, he had a painter come in to do some work in his house, and part of the work was to fix some cracks and then paint over it and make it look good. And so he did. The painter came in, fixed the cracks, painted over everything, and had the house looking really good. But as it was, a few months passed, and then in those few months, those cracks came back. And then, of course, he was puzzled, why did these cracks come back? This painter maybe didn't do the kind of job that they should have done. And so he called back the painter, got the painter back and said, the cracks, they're there. You worked on it, but now two months later, there they are. And so the painter apologized and said, well, I don't know, why that is, but don't worry, I'm going to take care of it. And so went to work, patched and did everything to fix cracks, painted over it. And after the work was done, it looked good, looked really good. And so everything seemed to be fixed. But then a few months later, there were cracks. And not only this, is there were more cracks. There were more cracks than there were before. And so Dr. Evans, he was a little upset at this time. He says, well, I'm done with this first painter. I don't know why he couldn't fix it. I'm going to call somebody, the most reputable person I can get, and brought him in. And they looked at the crack, and they sat there and looked at the cracks, different angles, taking their time to kind of look around. And then finally told Dr. Evans, I can't help you. And Dr. Evans says, well, why can't you help me? You're a painter. You fix these type of things. Why can't you help me? So a little bit confused. But the painter told him that the cracks weren't the problem. And Dr. Evans said, well, I don't know about you, but I see cracks, and you see cracks. Well, you're telling me cracks are not the problem. And he said, no, cracks are just a symptom of a greater problem. Your problem is a shifting foundation. Sometimes the issue that we think is not the issue that's really at hand. The problem that Dr. Evans had in his home was at a foundational level. So no matter how many times he went and filled those cracks, no matter how many times the cracks were filled and plastered and painted over and looking good, everything looking good, those cracks were going to come back, as they did come back. And that's because it was more than just the cracks. You know, this could be also said just the same about our lives, our family's life. If we look at the idea of house, and we look about how the Bible talks about a house, it could talk about multiple things. It can talk about a person's life, certainly. It can talk about a person's life. It can talk about our families. If we look at the Bible and speaks about house, it can speak about house as a family, like the house of David or the house of Cornelius. And it deals with the household. Now, we probably are all of the same mind, and we all have the same dreams. We want healthy lives and healthy homes, healthy families. House can also refer to a church, God's household of faith, the ecclesia. We literally are being a temple being built together by God and filled with His Spirit. So we're literally referred to in that way. The body of Christ is referred to in that way, that we are being built on the foundations of Christ. Could be talking about the church. The house also could be referring to a civil government or a nation. We also see that in the Bible as well, such as the house of Israel, the Bible refers to. A nation also has foundations, good or bad, and it affects its prosperity, it affects its future. So house can be referred to in several ways, and we can see that throughout Scripture. Each of these entities needs the right foundation, needs a good foundation, a strong foundation. And Jesus addressed this in his teachings when he speaks about a parable. And there's a parable that you know and I know, but let us revisit it this morning. It's out of Matthew chapter 7. Jesus speaks. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell with a great crash. Now, you probably remember this parable that Jesus speaks of. He's talking about two different kinds of foundations. And there's some things that we can clearly see in this passage that I think God wants us to see and we're probably familiar with. What's clear in this passage is hearing the word of God and doing the word of God are two different things, two entirely different things. hearing only leads to one type of foundation that's described in this parable. While applying what we hear from God is another type of foundation that we see also in this parable. One foundation is faulty and leads to disaster. The other foundation is solid and survives even the worst of storms. So we can see that in this passage, two different foundations. We can also see clearly in this passage that storms will happen and take place. Jesus is kind of letting us know that no matter what foundation you have in your life, there will be storms. Storms will take place. It's not an if, it's just a when. When will the storms come? Sometimes it's at unknown times, unexpected times. But it is a fact that storms do come. The storms can have various sources. It could be from the devil, but not necessarily. It could be from our bad choices. It could even be the testing of God upon our lives, to what we have built our life upon. Storms can be trials and tribulations that we go through, the kind of trials and tribulations that reveal our character, that reveal our integrity, that reveal what our life is built upon and how it's been built. Have you ever learned more about yourself? And that's the question. I think it's true. But have you ever learned more about yourself when you went through a storm? You know, storms reveal things. They really do. They reveal things about us, about our families, about the church, about the nation, because each of these go through storms. And storms reveal things, sometimes things that we didn't know, sometimes things that we had not recognized. You know, sometimes in a storm, you will learn that you're more solid than you thought you were, that your life is more well-built and strong, has strong foundations, maybe even more so than you maybe even believed, because you held fast in times of storms, in times of trials and difficulties. Or maybe during storms, you learned that there was a crack. There was a crack in your foundation, and it became evident only in the time of trial or difficulty where that storm came to your life. And you found out that there was a crack in your foundation that needed attention. You know, the Bible also is clear that there is wisdom. There's the way of wisdom. And there's foolishness. There's the way of foolishness. Of course, the Bible talks a lot about this throughout Scripture. But in this parable, we can see a contrast. Okay? And the way of wisdom and the way of foolishness has nothing to do with how many degrees you have by your name, how many years you went to school, how much you learned in your education. It has nothing to do with how much you have accumulated in life and the kind of things that you've been able to accomplish and do in life. It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with how eloquently we speak or the words that we can use and how we can influence other people. None of these. None of these distinguish between the wise and the foolish here in this parable. None of those would work. The parable has a very simple distinction. Is simply, do you take the Word of God and apply it to your life? Do you take the Word of God and apply it to your life? Or do you simply hear it and discard it? In one ear, out the other, when it comes to your life, not applying the Word of God. See, one is wise and one is foolish. See, both of these people, both of these men here in these with these homes and these houses, they both hear the Word of God. In that sense, we almost say they're both religious people. They both hear the Word of God. They don't refuse the Word of God. They hear the Word of God. But what they do with it is radically different. Radically different. sometimes we have to stop and say, what do we do? What do we do with the Word of God? What do we do with it? Do we take time to apply God's Word to our lives carefully? Like building a foundation on solid rock? I imagine it probably is more time-consuming and costly to build upon rock than it is upon sand. Maybe it's easier to build upon sand, quicker to build upon sand, but the long-term effects are greatly different. You see, a life with Jesus at the center is a life built on the rock. With Christ as our center, with His words as our base, it cannot be destroyed. That foundation will not lose its power. It will not lose its power to save. It will not lose its power to deliver our lives. Worldly wisdom will say that the Word of God is peripheral. Your relationship with Jesus is peripheral. The word of God is peripheral. It's not that it's not necessarily kind of important. Maybe it is a little bit important, but it's peripheral. You can read it, but don't base your life on it. Because it's ultimately, you know, it's too hard to try and apply God's Word throughout your whole life. There's simply, people do adopt that there are shortcuts. There are shortcuts and easier ways of life. Sometimes, even in the church, we take shortcuts. People can take shortcuts all the time. We've probably taken a few of our own shortcuts in life. And sometimes we don't see the results of that until much, much later. Maybe years later. Because we didn't take the time to build solidly on solid foundations. Now, some people can try to apply God's Word in a misguided way. Maybe kind of half understanding the Bible, but not fully understanding the Bible. Something along the lines of that we believe it says in the Bible to be, say, a good moral person. To be a good moral person and it all work out in the end. Well, some people believe that. Some Christians believe that. But there's more, much more that the Bible says and how we build our lives. For some people, it's too hard to look to God and His Word as a continual revelation for our lives, the basis in which we live, how we build our conduct, make our decisions, our choices, you know, where we live day in and day out, the ebb and the flow of our lives, to really weave God's Word into every area of our life. And where we don't have understanding, we seek greater understanding. We have to make sure to pay attention to our foundations. Now, I know probably you're not looking at your foundations in your home every day. I doubt it. You may never look at your foundations. Your foundations may even be covered up with things that you can't even see your foundations. And a lot of times we don't know there's an issue with the foundation until we see symptoms. We see symptoms that are going on in our lives, in our family, and in different areas. And those symptoms start showing up and making us realize there's something deeper going on. I think we'd probably rather have the pipe problems like I was talking about, where we can just clean out a little dirt and get the flow going. You know, sin is like that. Sin can hinder the flow of our lives. It can hinder the flow of God's Spirit in our life. But the Bible is also clear that says if we will bring our sin, confess our sin, and be open before God about, you know, sin in our lives, you know, and don't let accounts build. In fact, 1 John says it this way, 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful. God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. See, God's really good with cleaning sin from our hearts. Because if we're honest and we confess and we come openly before the Lord, He's really good with cleansing us, cleaning the sin out of our lives. But it does also say in verse 10, it says in verse 10, just one verse later, it says, if we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar and His word is not in us. And that's sometimes where we don't realize and we don't see or we don't want to face things in our lives that just aren't right before God. It's important that we let God's word reveal things in our lives. You know, oftentimes we say that the word of God is like a mirror. It shows us our heart. It shows us our attitude. It shows us our intentions. It shows us things that sometimes we don't want to see. But if we allow the word of God to read us as we read it, it will inform us about what's going on in the inside of us. And then we come and say, Lord, do your work in me. Let your word have a working in me. Well, ultimately, we need to get to a place where our foundations are fully in God. Our foundations are in Christ. Everything in our life pleases him. It's our desire to please him, to be God's handiwork, the work of his hands. And when there's something wrong at a foundational level in our lives, that we'll take that seriously and we'll bring it to God. We'll bring it to the Lord. When things arise, when things that we see and realize that it's not just something we can patch, it's not just something we can paint over, it's something that needs greater attention into our lives. And sometimes we have to look and see what might be cracks in our walls. What are things that might indicate us that there might be some issues on a foundational level? We have to look and see how we're living sometimes before God. I mean, we have to ask ourselves, for instance, there might be things like, do we live in constant fear? Do we have fear in our lives? Or are we people who are easily angered? Do you find yourself constantly in that anger, that there's just something wells up easily? Are we easily offended? Or do we have persistent sin in our lives? Though we try to deal with it, we try to bring it before God, there's a persistent sin that continues to come up over and over and over again. We pray about it, but it still comes up over and over again. Maybe even possibly something addictive in our lives. Or maybe possibly we find ourselves being highly critical of others. Well, sometimes these are really just symptoms. Sometimes these are just really symptoms of something that's going on a deeper level. It's something that we have to come before God and say, Lord, what's going on? I pray about these things. I ask you to help me have freedom in these things, but it doesn't seem like I'm getting the kind of freedom that I desire. Or realize maybe there's a realization that there is freedom from those things. And they need to be changed. All change must be predicated on God, his nature, and his word. We do have a transformative God that will bring transformation in our lives at a foundational level. He will mend the cracks. He will mend the wounds, even down deep in our lives. And it's important that we go to God and we talk to God about these things. And we ask him, Lord, I believe there's more here. Would you help me to get deep into the foundations? It could be even a lie or deception that we believe is true. If we've built our lives on any lie or deception, then we're building in a faulty way, in a faulty manner, that eventually that's going to collapse. It's not going to hold up. And sometimes we can have good foundations in one area and poor foundations in another area, because maybe there's something we believe that doesn't hold up to the Word of God. Now, it's one thing is true. It's painful to stop things in life, to take account, and to what we just hope would just be a patch job, realizing there's more than just a patch job that's at hand. And that can be painful, because sometimes it takes effort, commitment, time to work on the foundations. It's not pretty. It's not glorious. We'd rather build an entertainment room. We'd rather build a bonus room. We'd rather increase the awesome blessings of our life on the outward appearance of things. But then God's saying, no, spend time on your foundations. It may be painful. But if we think about foundations, the whole house depends upon it. Your whole life, your family life, your marriage, the church, this nation, It depends upon having the right foundations. If we get off on the wrong foundations, and we can see it easily in our nation, we can see it. When we get off on the wrong foundations, we will not be a blessed nation. The blessings of God flow in this nation for a reason, but it has everything to do with the foundations. And it's also true for our personal life too. If our marriage gets off on the wrong foundation, we will not be experiencing the blessings of God. We want to build our marriage on good, solid, excellent foundations, our family life, our personal life. And sometimes when we see the cracks and we see the issues, sometimes we say, okay, Lord, I can't fix this. I don't know how to fix this. God, help me fix this. What's wrong? I don't see it. Would you help me to see it? And I believe that's where the Lord oftentimes is going to show us foundational issues that need attention. They need work. They need our attention and commitment. God needs our cooperation. He needs our cooperation to do the kind of work that needs to be done in our lives. Psalm 127 says it very clearly. Psalm 127, you know it well. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it, labor in vain. Nobody wants a life like that, where we work hard, we work diligently, we toil, and as it actually in verse 2, it says, it is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives his beloved sleep. And that says, you know, we don't have to toil. We don't have to fret. But God must be the builder of our lives. Because when he's the builder, we have a place that we can trust our lives, we can trust our family, we can trust the body, the Christ, we can trust our nation. It's in a good place. But it's very clear, unless the Lord builds the house, we're wasting our time, our effort, our toil, our strength. So church, our lives will be challenged by storms. That's a given. It will be, and it has been. It has been and will be. And we'll continue to see storms around us and in this world and in this life, whether it's the nation, the church, a whole manner of things. Because when the sun is shining, it all looks good. But it's the storm that reveals. It's the storm that reveals. But we shouldn't wait for the storms. We shouldn't wait for the storms. We should say, Lord, is there anything in my life that needs attention? Is there anything that I've not built in the area I've not built upon your word? I've not given you the place where you are the constructor of my life in this area or whatever it may be. Let the Lord reveal that to you. And let God do a deeper work in you to mend your foundations fully, to make them strong, to shore them up, to strengthen you in any way that you need to be strengthened. It takes humility and it takes commitment. But with a humble heart, we will receive God's instruction. We'll receive what the Word of God gives us. And we'll allow the Word of God to challenge us. Will allow it to challenge us, however the Lord wants to bring that challenge to us, to bring change, to show us what needs our attention. And we should ask God for help, and he will give it. God is more than willing, and he asks for us to be willing to have a heart to obey. So when you approach the Word of God, maybe even this week, when you approach the Word of God, say, Lord God, reveal to me what I don't see. Teach me your ways. But with that, when you approach the Word of God, approach it with a heart to obey. Approach it with a heart. Don't just go at the Word of God as an academic exercise to just learn some more knowledge. But approach the Word of God and saying, this is the living Word of God. It has life to give life, to separate me from my sin, to do a work in me, to do a work of mending and healing and wholeness and to change things that are in error and to bring back the life of God, the full life of God into me, where even where there's been brokenness. Approach the Word of God and allow it to give you a deeper look, like a mirror at yourself. And say, Lord, what do you want to show me in your Word? Teach me your ways with every heart intention and commitment to follow God and allow him to lead you, guide you, direct you, heal you, mend you, all the things that God wants to do in your life. He will.